Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 14th of September 2020 with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 268. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. It is 11:02 hours here in the UK. It looks like a bright morning here in London. Ideal running weather. Perhaps we're supposed to be getting something of an Indian summer this week. I think I've read that somewhere. Now that I'm saying it, I can't be sure, so don't hold me to that. Good to be able to focus on this show this morning. Breaks up the random swearing. My swearing levels, I don't think they've been this high since the early 90s. You're coming out of your teens, you think swearing is the adult thing to do, but this is 2020 and I'm just dropping these F-bombs, whether it's the fridge door not closing. You know, I'll close it, I'll turn around and it opens again. Whether it's that or whether it's trying to wrap my keys up carefully enough in tissue, well, two tissues actually, and then a sandwich bag so they don't cut up my ankle on a run when I stuff them down my socks. Or whether it's even trying to get that tap to stop dripping, which it started doing again. Those F-bombs are never far away. It is a concern. So, I mean, given the lifestyle that I lead is very quiet, I can get away with it. But if I were ever able to go back out into society and maybe, you know, rebuild a social circle, if we get through this pandemic, I will need to address the swearing. It was a quiet weekend. A reasonable sloth Saturday. I think the fact that I found last Monday's run so punishing, despite, again, what was a reasonable sloth Saturday, I think I'm mindful that the first run of the week is likely to be more difficult if sloth Saturday gets out of hand. There were six Star Wars football games as the new season finally got underway on Friday night with the annual curtain raiser. Not the annual, it's, you know, I'm now on Silver Age Season 5, so Star Wars football returned, I think, about 14 months ago. So the seasons tend to last now about 4 months. But the curtain raiser is the charity shield. And I played six games since Friday, really enjoying it. My cousin very generously got me the Stuart Surridge Sabucho ball, which is something I've long wanted since I found out that they did it. That was very kind of him. And I tell you, I don't think Star Wars football has ever looked more beautiful. It's my favourite football in the history of football. It's that ball with the multiple red panels that produce a beautiful pattern when the ball is moving. And it was outlawed by FIFA owing to an extra panel on the design. I don't think there has been a more influential football in the history of the game. And to see this, to be able to play Star Wars football now with this ball, it's just incredible. I can't not play now without this ball. It's just for the league games. So, but that is the bulk of the fixtures. But it's just such a beautiful ball. And I'm really pleased with that. And it's reignited even more my enthusiasm for Star Wars football. Because, you know, a month or two ago, it was dipping a little, you know. Trying to fulfill the fixtures was a bit of a slog. I was struggling with my knees, but, you know, my knees are better now. I'm hoping that I don't feel the impact of those six games on today's run. I don't think I will. As I've said on a recent show, the knee strengthening exercises I've done pretty much every day through the summer have, at least for now, got the knees feeling much stronger. So I'm really pleased with that. I do feel tired, though, more mentally. But I think when you're mentally tired, that bleeds over into how you're feeling physically. Everything's aching, everything's clicking, the ears are ringing. That's just a permanent thing. We have new lockdown guidance to observe here in the UK. I'm talking here as if I have a very big international audience. Gatherings here are now limited to six, none of which affects me, of course. I don't even think I've got six friends now. I'd like some guidance to come in during this pandemic that makes me have to note everything down, how I might be affected. But the guidance that keeps coming in, it doesn't really affect me. And it just illustrates to me what I've done, how far I took this, whatever it's been, this social distancing that's been going on for a decade now, the way I've just removed myself from society. I want something to come in. I want Well, I don't want things to get worse, of course. That would be a stupid thing to say. But, it's crossed my mind that if things get worse and they limit gatherings to, say, three people, maybe then I might be able to say, okay, I need to have a think about this. This affects me. That might be a good moment for me. But right now, very little about this does affect me. Regardless whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, this is no way to see people. It feels so impersonal not to be able to have proper contact with anyone, with friends that have been in your life for decades, with family. I mean, Poundland on late Friday morning, Brixton Poundland, where it's not unusual to see a scrap, it was rammed in there, and I was silly to go in there. And I was telling my uncle this, and he said the best time to go into somewhere like Poundland is probably early afternoon when it will be a bit quieter. So that's something for me to keep in mind. But I had a moment in there. This is probably around 11:45 hours on Friday, the 11th of September. A woman brushed up on me in the store, and I immediately recoiled, and I realized that was probably the first physical contact I've had with a stranger since March. So it's drummed into you now, no contact. And then there's this stranger in the way after I'd paid for my stuff. They were in the way, they weren't moving, they were carrying out a three-way conversation by the self-checkouts with two other customers. They didn't see me leaving. They stepped back as they were talking. They brushed me, and the woman apologized. But, come on, take that three-way out the store. You've bought your stuff. Get out the store. Carry on that conversation outside. We're in the shop. Let's buy our frugal goods and get out right away. This is a pandemic. I had by then had quite the morning, of which the recurring theme was animal muck. It began when I left the building at 0900 hours on Friday morning to find more animal muck outside. This has been going on for a while. Might have been fox muck, I don't know. I'm not an authority on these things. And I did a Twitter thread on this on Friday, which I think might have had one retweet. 2010, 2011, the peak of the Twitter thread era, that would have got a few retweets. I knew by the afternoon when I came back home, either from the last bit of shopping or the run, that that muck would be overwhelmed by flies. And it was on these big wide steps leading up to the building, so I would have to veer to the right as I was coming back in. And you've got that big front lawn on the right that belongs to one of the downstairs neighbours, and the guy down there can kick off if you're on his lawn. So I knew that it would be tricky to negotiate my way back to the building past that mark, particularly when I had quite a bit of shopping. And that was on my mind, especially if I was coming back from the run and I was in my running shorts, two pairs of running shorts, the shins exposed. There would have been more recoiling had I felt any big flies make contact with my shins. Although some might say, well, look, you nearly swallowed a wasp last week. Some fly to shin contact isn't going to kill you, but it's where the flies are coming from. I left the building on Friday morning. I crossed the road to top up my Oyster, where I would have my first small talk engagement with, like, small talk, the shop assistant. And in some weeks, actually, the first contact, the first small talk we've had, he asked how the neighbor was, etc. He topped up the Oyster. As I was crossing the road to go into the shop, I saw a dog walker looking, as he ought to have been, ashamed as his dog reeked utter destruction on the pavement. These paving stones must have thought the end of the world was coming, which, to be fair, it might be anyway. This was the level of on-street dog muck that you would see everywhere in London until the start of the millennium, before bagging up after your dog became what should have only been a temporary solution. I hadn't seen this kind of thing happening for a long time, and when I was growing up in Lambeth, it was certainly not uncommon. I mean, I lived round the corner from Atherfold Road, SW9, the dirtiest street I have ever known, and I got a reputation locally for always walking in the road. Be walking with friends, they'd say, "Get out of the road." But the muck, I could not understand the muck. I couldn't get my head around how this was normal, how we live like this. And I think, and I've said this many times, that if there is an afterlife and you're having that life review, one of the questions that I will ask, if you're allowed to ask any questions, is that whole dog muck business, dog muck on the street. Seriously, what was going on there? What was that about? Because it marred my enjoyment of life, whether it was parks or streets. It's just a horrible thing, and I've never been able to get my head around it. It still makes no sense to me. I couldn't believe what I was seeing on Friday morning because I just hadn't seen it for such a long time. Now, I completely get why people love dogs, the companionship they offer, particularly smaller dogs. I think even I would like a small dog. I wouldn't particularly enjoy walking it, I think, because of the muck situation. And, they tend to be a bit yappy. Is that a dog term? Is that what they do? Yap? They tend to bark more than the bigger dogs. But I can see why people love dogs, particularly, if you have a bit of a quiet life, if you're on your own, maybe. I mean, it would be brilliant to have a dog. But the muck situation, for me, I'm not sure that any pet is worth that. Right away, as I crossed the road and got closer to what was going on, I could see that the dog owner had a multiple bagging up situation on his hands. This was carnage. I mean, this was the canine equivalent of what Dr. Alban did in the cafe back in late 2011 when he wrecked the loos there. I mean, this was absolute carnage. I think the dog must have had previous because the owner was indeed multi-bagged. And I think normally I just see dog owners with one bag, with a single bag, or maybe they've got multiple bags in their bag and I just see them take out one bag. I don't know, but this guy, he had quite a few bags, but he probably would have benefited from having a shovel. Meantime, what I did, I committed the afflicted paving stones to memory. They were right in the middle of the pavement. They were about 5, 6 meters away from the phone box. The man was on his umpteenth dog poop bag when I emerged from the shop after finishing the small talk with like small talk. He was struggling. He really was struggling. It all reminded me of John Motson's greatest commentary, the dramatic France v Portugal Euro 84 semi-final, when John Motson, his voice breaking, cried,
"Tigana, through to his right, and Platini through the middle, Tigana again, Tigana, Tigana, Platini, go! Platini for France, with a minute to go, it's 3-2. I've not
This
seen a match like
was the
this."
muck equivalent of that. As the man binned the final bag, he was close to gagging, as indeed I was, and I saw him spitting on the pavement several times. He was almost looked like he was gonna fall over at some point. He looked like he was heaving. It was like watching myself trying to spit that wasp out last week, and adding to the destruction his dog had unleashed, the whole spectacle was just horrendous. And then when he finished, he wagged a finger at the nonplussed dog before they went off, the dog taking great care to walk around these specific paving stones it had destroyed. I just haven't seen anything like this for years. And I'm sure that if it had happened at night or early morning when there weren't any people on the street, this guy would have just walked away from that because I don't think any dog owner would attempt to clear up what he did. He had to do it out of shame. So I'd done my first bit of shopping. On Friday morning, I had to go to the pharmacy where there was a back and forth with a pharmacist over my prescription. And I was gone for a couple of hours doing that and doing the little shop in the morning. I got back again, taking care to veer towards the right to avoid the fresh muck outside the building. The flies hadn't got there yet, I don't think. I unpacked the shopping, antibacterial wiped the first load of shopping, put it all in the fridge and the cupboards. Close the fridge door again and again and again and again. Then I went back out once more to finish the shopping via this aforementioned trip to Poundland. Then I was going to see my aunt and uncle. And I left the building again. This was the second time I was leaving the building on Friday. And guess who, mentally distracted as he was, walked right through the paving stones wrecked by that dog less than 2 hours earlier. That's right, yours truly. I'm holding my hand up here, really disappointed with myself. I think if I wasn't all pilled up, these trainers, the trainers I had on Friday, in fact, I think they were new trainers that I bought about a year ago, but that gave me some problems, and I was advised not to wear them for a while and to try and re-break them in. And I haven't since, but I'm now at the stage where the old trainers really could do with being phased out, so I'm trying to phase in the new trainers. This is what these new trainers did. Maybe because I wasn't used to them, maybe my walking wasn't what it should have been. If they were the old trainers, if I wasn't all pilled up, these trainers, those trainers, whichever trainers, wouldn't have come back into the flat ever again. As it is, they're just on the mat, the shoe removal mat. And when I'm putting them on, went out to put the bins on I think Saturday evening. I've got this new routine now that I don't have to run these errands for the neighbor, that I only go out on the Saturday in the early evening when I've finished doing all the chopping for the calzone conversion ingredients that I add. Bag everything up and just go and put the bins out. And I was trying to get back into the new trainers, and my toes were just rigid. It was the fear. It was coursing through my toes. It was the fear of going back into those shoes. The reason I remember things like this is because I've got an excellent dog muck avoiding track record, to the extent that the occasional slip ups, such as November 1987, possibly the worst. No, actually, Clapham Common 1984, when my Zephyr trainers got caked on the common. And it was only because of that that my mum finally relented and bought me a pair of Adidas Hot Shot Low. I did want the Adidas Hot Shot High, but I was grateful for what I got. November 87, that was on Athelwold Road, that dirty road that I just spoke about 4 or 5 minutes ago. Then there was September 2012, when I walked into something as I made my way through a Vauxhall underpass. This was just a couple of months before this show launched. So the mishaps, the muck mishaps, have tended to be spectacular. When I get caught out, it's spectacular. The last one, actually, the 2012 Vauxhall underpass, the one plus to come out of the underpass, the one plus to come out of that was that it had happened whilst wearing my tan shoes from Next that hadn't been fashionable since 2006. And consequently, because of that incident, I finally binned them. Those tan shoes, they're the shoe equivalent. Here again with the equivalents. They're the shoe equivalent of the unfashionable late 90s all over the mouth goatee, which by the time The Office came out and Ricky Gervais was playing David Brent with that all around the mouth goatee, that goatee design was unfashionable by 2001. By around 98, 99, the fashionable thing had become, possibly you could say, the more pretentious goatee, but the one that I wore for years was the goatee with the tash and beard separation. So there you go, muck and fashionable beards. What other podcast is going to give you that? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, episode 268. Ways to support the show: iTunes reviews. Do please rate, review, and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts. If you have access to Apple Podcasts, it'll take 30 seconds of your time, and it does increase the visibility of the show in the iTunes store. That is a massive help. You can also make one-off donations to the show via PayPal or Ko-fi.com. The links for both of those are at DanielRuizTyson.com. That's if you don't want to commit to a Patreon. If you do make a one-off donation via PayPal or Ko-fi.com, you will get that week's Patreon episode we transferred to you. Most importantly, the easiest way, the most direct way to support this work is via the Patreon page. Just £6 a month. You're getting, at the moment, close to 2 hours of content at the moment every week. There's also a second tier, an introductory tier for those of you who might be unsure about committing to supporting the podcast. Everyone in the UK, EU, and US, you can now pledge in your local currency of euros, British pounds, or US dollars, which prevents you paying extra conversion fees from your bank or card when pledging in a currency that's not your own. Patreon.com/DRT available. Sign up there for a different kind of podcast. Join the 16 patrons keeping this show alive. Moving on from Friday to Saturday. Well, Saturday, Friday night. No, it was Friday night, actually. The new Star Wars football season had kicked off with the Community Shield. Those updates tend to go out on the Patreon Thursday show. But I'd still not fixed the league fixtures. The league fixtures, really tripping up over the X's here. The league fixtures computer generator that I use has a couple of bugs in it. I've been using it for a couple of seasons, and now I think I needed to find something better because it was causing more problems. And I said on Thursday's show, ideally, you want your teams, for reasons of fairness, to be playing home away, and these fixtures that the program had generated weren't giving me that. So it's 8 teams, home and away, 14 games in total. Games 1 to 7, there were teams playing just 2 home games or 2 away games in the first half of the league program. and five of home or away games, and that's not fair. And then that would be reversed on the running. I couldn't resolve that issue manually, which is what I've done in the previous couple of years. I found a number of other sites out there, alternatives, none fixed the issue. And now I think about it, I'm wondering whether that's because these sites are US sites, and the US is such a vast country that certainly with baseball and basketball, not American football, but with baseball and basketball, what am I talking about actually? I know nothing about baseball, how it works in terms of fixtures, so that's me assuming that. What I do know is that basketball, I know a bit more about basketball, and because it's such a huge country, the NBA teams will travel and play more than one game in that city before returning home for a spate of home games. And I quite like that. I've always liked that about basketball. I also like the fact that they play so many games. So I'm wondering if that is an explanation for these quirks, stroke bugs in these fixture generating programs, or it might just simply be a bug in these programs. So I felt that I would have to do this manually. That was the only way it was going to be resolved, and I would need to look at the world's smallest leagues to find an 18 model for my league and base the fixtures on that. I found a site that gave me links to all 202 countries and their leagues. I worked my way through the smaller leagues. Even countries that I thought were small had big leagues, 12-team leagues, 18-team leagues. But finally, I lucked in. I found the Azerbaijan Premier League, eight teams, modelled the fixtures on theirs. I matched every Star Wars football team in order of league placings last season to the Azerbaijan teams. Let me just give you the names of those Azerbaijan teams. Actually, I've got the page up here. Obviously, the pronunciation isn't going to be great. Sabah and Sumkayit, K for Q, Quebec, Qarabag. Or Karabag, but again, Q for Quebec. Zaya, it's got an upside down E, so I'm not sure how you're meant to pronounce the upside down E. Kabala, again with a Q. Sabail, Kezle Football, Klubu, and Neftsi. So those were the eight teams that were matched to the eight Star Wars football teams. That was it, resolved the problem. And the league was able to kick off. I think there might still be one or two sequences of fixtures where a team does play consecutive games, home or away, and maybe that's unresolvable. Maybe that's the case with most leagues. I'm not sure why it should be. It does confuse me. But the important thing is it's done and it's better than it was. So the information I gave in terms of opening day fixtures to look out for and final day fixtures to look out for on last week's Patreon show is now incorrect because I had to redo the fixtures from scratch. New season results and transfer news on Thursday's show, episode 269. If you can't wait, head over to the Instagram at 1607 West Egg page, results and action there from the new season's first fixtures. Or you can follow at Star Wars Footy on Twitter. A quick breakfast update to give you from Friday, last Friday, 11th of September, running through to this morning, Monday the 14th. Toast, crackers, crackers, toast. Now that is fair. Friday early afternoon, I paid a flying visit to my aunt and uncle, and you don't need me to tell you that they weren't getting on again. I'd left a pair of old glasses at my aunt's when I got my bubble off the ground a couple of months back so that I could check their mail and Nectar Point updates when I'm there, rather than have to bring my current glasses with me every time I visit. But the eyes are so bad now. Are you talking about the eyes again, Dave? The eyes are so bad now that those glasses that I left at my aunt's, which are two glasses back in terms of prescriptions, those glasses are ineffective. They don't do the job now. So I wasn't able to help right away. On today's hit list is call the opticians to save my eyes, I think, from further deterioration. I may need to run the Rona gauntlet. I think I'm just going to have to deal with whatever anxiety that may bring. I'm just looking at the laptop here. I'm having so many issues with Windows and now Word's playing up, which is alarming me given the amount of work that I've got on. So, going back to Friday at my aunt's, her Nectar Point vouchers, I hadn't even taken my shoes off, and she already had them in her hand for me to tell her what she had and how she could use them. And I was trying to see what I could read. And my aunt had found a new line of attack on my uncle. "Your uncle never gave me twins. I always wanted twins. I'm 81," began my uncle. "Now she's telling me she always wanted twins." Meantime, I took pictures of my aunt's nectar points, zoomed in on them to see what she had. Probably the easiest way for me to do things now is just zoom in on pictures on my phone. It still wasn't easy explaining to her what she had. So I said, "Look, I'll keep these pictures. And when you're going to Sainsbury's next, give me a call and I'll explain what you have for that week." Now to this week's Nectar Points update. I've been doing well to avoid the Pistons lately because I really can't stand that Brixton Little. And as I've said, Acre Lane in Brixton is one of my two least favourite roads. Acre Lane, Landall Road. Landall Road is sort of Brixton, Stockwell, and Clapham North, and it's just such a bleak road. And I think if you're prone to the melancholy, seeing these grim South London roads, it will do you no favours at all. So I was back in the Stockwell store where I was very pleased to see that Newgate beans, 30p beans, were back after a period of 5 or 6 weeks where I couldn't find them anywhere. I'm glad that I held off on buying those 22p tins, the substitute tins that they brought in that would have involved buying a tin opener. I mean, why put out tins of beans for 22p with no ring pull that would require the buyer to have access to a can opener? Why not just sell the beans for 30p and include the ring pull? Just makes no sense at all. On my way to the Nine Elms Monster to top up my nectar points, I spotted Mr. Toe Loops on Binfield Road, Stockwell, one of them weird roads that has multiple postcodes. Now, that's not unusual on a long road, but Binfield Road isn't that long actually. Part of it is SW4, which is weird because that is a Clapham postcode, and then part of it is SW8. The point being, anyway, I can't be certain that Mr. Toe Loops was in SW8 country again, or whether where I saw him falls into SW4 territory. I personally think it was SW8. He's obviously a local because I've now seen him twice in a week. He's got that distinctive long white hair in a ponytail, last fashionable in the late 80s. I'm thinking U2, Rattle and Hum era. I saw the white ponytail from behind, and right away I told myself, that is Mr. Toe Loops. Sure enough, it was. It wasn't even that warm on Friday, and he was out there again on the streets with, I don't know, they look more like flip-flops than sandals, but I think the toe loops are more common to sandals, if they're common at all. But either way, it's an absolute disgrace. You've got so many ways to wear footwear, but you choose to secure it with a loop via your big toe. Who designed those? I don't understand people wearing that kind of footwear. This is worse than flip-flops. This is flip-flops secured with a toe loop. So I went to Sainsbury's anyway. Left that visual of Mr. Toe Loops behind. I went to Sainsbury's. I took ages. I'm just looking for my Nectar points here. I took ages to find a card for the neighbour. I'm going to have to switch a light on here. Okay. Right, let's see what I've got here. Where was I? Yeah, I was finding a card for the neighbour, which took a while. I've got us some dark chocolates, but I've said it before, I've gone on record before, I don't like to pay more than, 50p for a card. And I can find them. I think people get the same birthday card from me every year. But I couldn't find one for whatever their situation was. I couldn't go down the get well soon route because she's been sent home. So that option, that greeting card option, wasn't open to me. I could have got that if she was still in hospital, but she's back now. And I'd just rather put the money into the gift. I don't mind paying extra for chocolates or flowers or whatever, but a card, I think they're overpriced. I had to buy one for £1 anyway, which was acceptable. Also, I had to be careful though, because I didn't want a card or to write a message within that card that encouraged them to think I could perhaps resume the errand boy duties that took up a chunk of my time for the last 2 years. I don't want to go back to that. So I'm limiting any text to her. I left the card and chocolates out there for one of the care workers to find and give her. I didn't text. I didn't respond to her text thanking me. Every now and then I will make that kind of gesture. I'm not a hard guy, but I'm not doing the OK Magazine, Daily Mail, and whatever the other one was, Radio Times business again. You know, that era is over. Meantime, actually, well, I still haven't given you the Nectar points. I was ready to move on to the next item. The Nectar points. Okay, let's have a look at what I went in with. I went in with 181 points on Friday. Bought the spicy chicken pizza, £1.50. There are times when I go up to the refrigerators where the pizzas are, and as I'm walking towards them, I can't see the orangey cardboard of my go-to thin and crispy. There's the throat, thin and crispy spicy chicken pizza. And that moment, it's just a moment, but it always feels like that's it, that's the weekend ruined. I mean, I'd had the four cheese pizza the week before, and I'm not keen on the four cheese pizza, but I did a good job last weekend. I thought, worst case scenario, I'll just get another four cheese pizza and follow what I did last weekend. Don't sweat it. But they did have my pizza, bought semi-skimmed 4 pints of milk. I bought one in the morning, 6 pints. Both have expiry dates for the 21st of September. So I've got a week with 10 pints of milk, 10 pints of semi-skimmed. So I'm okay there. Bought a yogurt, the greeting card as mentioned. Bought both decaf and caffeinated coffee. So it was pricey. Really pricey, but I'm drinking so much coffee that I think it's imperative that I have decaf in the flat. Bought two single oranges for 60p and a loose baking potato for 47p, which is pricey. My potatoes normally tend to be around 33, 34p. I don't really like buying big potatoes, not because I can't eat them, because I can, and that was the problem. So in the last year, I've been making sure that if I have a baked potato, they're always smaller potatoes. So I earned 17 points on a purchase that came to £17.02. Earned 17 points, that took me to 198 points worth 99p. So it's going to be a slow process. I think reaching 500 for Christmas, that's a realistic target. So that is this week's Nectar Points update. Moving on, those email issues for the new show that was still going on well into Friday. It was Thursday afternoon after getting episode 267 out. I got a generous 75-minute call from the technical support team at the company that's taken over from the old domain name provider, and we still couldn't sort it out. So it just goes to show that I was hopelessly optimistic that I could do this myself, because even an expert couldn't do it. It wasn't their responsibility, not yet, but we both knew the old domain provider has basically downed tools. Their emails are so badly put together that my email marks them down as spam, so I have to keep going into my spam folder to find emails from them. And now I think I'm just done with it. I'm not going to bother with it. Friday, I got a recommendation for this provider I'd not heard of. And I'll disguise the name of the friend, and I'll call him Friend because the association is now in its 11th year. We've podcasted together. He's been on the radio with me years ago. Associate, I think, doesn't really cover it. We share a birthday too. He's also served as something of a guide over the years, breaking down the stages at which your body hair begins to grey, which has been useful, alarming, but useful. And there is a book or perhaps a YouTube video in that information that he provides. So let's call this early to mid Twitter era great fat man on a couch to protect their identity. They put me onto this web provider. I'd been inclined to go with GoDaddy initially. I'd had a couple of recommendations for them on the same day when I'd never considered them because I just always thought, well, the name is rubbish. I don't expect much from a provider like that. I'm glad that I never went down that route. The Chin had recommended them, which I suppose should have told me all I needed to know. But also, I mentioned, I think on Thursday's show, that I'd watched a number of YouTube videos on how to set up the email forwarding within Gmail. And that one of those videos was really useful by an Irish guy, minimal, well, no Twitter presence, got a Twitter account but doesn't tweet. So I went to their website, contacted them for some advice because they provided an alternate way to set up the forwarding, which hadn't worked. And they came back with a very short message recommending GoDaddy. So two GoDaddy recommendations in a day. And then I'd heard from Fat Man on a couch and I looked at what they recommended. Just looked through the company's site. I was impressed with what I saw. I called their sales team, spoke to a very helpful guy. We talked for a good while, even talked about podcasts, actually, as he's a long-time listener, not of this show. Who is? You won't find many of those, but just a podcast generally. And he said to me that as it was coming up to 1700 hours on Friday, and their technical support was open until 1800 hours, and after that, I'd have to wait till Monday if there were any issues. That if I couldn't sort out the email forwarding, which is why I was having to look for an alternative provider and incur this extra cost, though it's a reasonable cost, just to give their technical support team a call, and they fixed it. Of course, nothing is straightforward with me when it comes to resolving technical issues. I couldn't sort out the forwarding. I called the company back up. I pressed one rather than two for technical support and was completely thrown to get the same voice. I said, "Hey, it's Daniel Ruiz." Not Tyson, only use that when podcasting to a 30-strong audience. "It's Daniel Ruiz. I think we just spoke." "Ah, yes," came back the affable sounding voice. "I did press one for technical support," I continued. "I'm not sure why I've come through to you." "This is technical support too," he said. "One of many hats I wear." It reminded me a bit of Bram Stoker's The Count, the character whose name I dare not speak because he will always terrify me and left me with an aversion to not only vampires, but to seeing red, particularly the darker reds, the crimsons, match with black because those were the colours of the Count's cape. I can't remember if it was in the original book. I think I'm right in saying in the Universal Bela Lugosi early 1930s film, which is a brilliant film, when Renfield is picked up. Is it Renfeld or Renfield? I don't know now. Renfeld. I think it's Renfeld. When Renfeld is picked up in Transylvania by the Count, I think the guy picking him up in the carriage is the Count in disguise. I think he's got a hat pulled low over his features. And that's what this reminded me of. You know, this guy was doing everything with his domain name provider, and a fat man on a couch said he's had similar experiences, which made me chuckle. I don't know why the guy just didn't tell me at the outset that he was technical support, so maybe he was trying to give the impression they're a big company. But the service, my initial impression is that it is impressive. And I was going to sign up regardless because I liked what I'd read. I appreciated the recommendation from Fat Man on a Couch and also, you know, giving me the heads up to avoid GoDaddy. So I don't think there was any need for the option one technical support, option two sales talk. You know, they should have just said, "Look, you can give me a call if you can't get it working. I offer technical support too." You know, their situation is no different to mine with this show. I have to do everything. The difference is I don't pretend I'm not. I don't pretend to have a producer or engineer on this show. He did a remote viewing of the laptop to sort out the issue because I wasn't able to do it myself. And we had a few attempts, but within about 15 minutes, he got it working. So that was brilliant. And I was grateful for their time. So a long week came to an end, and the first emails relating to the new show are now out there. I did say to this guy that I wasn't high maintenance and I wouldn't be calling regularly. My fingers were obviously crossed at the time. I'm just relieved that it's finally been sorted out and I headed out for a late run. I'm not massively keen on the early evening runs. I'm not sure why, but I've realized that when I do them, I come back and think that wasn't too bad actually. As long as it's not sunny and the park isn't packed with COVID idiots sunbathing because they think skin cancer no longer exists just because we're in a pandemic, or park users urinating in the bushes. It's all right. And I guess that is why I'm not keen on the evening run, because I thought when summer came that that's what I would be doing. But then, you know, I'd go into the park and it would be packed. And, you know, I'm a low-key guy. It may be I've got an ungainly running style. I don't know. I've never seen myself running, captured on film. I'd like to. I think I'd like to because I have a suspicion that I might be an elegant runner, particularly as I lead with the left foot. I'm trying to get out there before lunch today, but I'm looking at this show. It might be another long edit. I'm not going to be that long, but it certainly will be longer than last week's, and it could be that I don't get today's run out of the way until early evening again, and at least if we've got these gatherings limited to six maximum, it's not going to be as bad as it has been in recent weeks. As I came back from the park on Friday evening in a grey t-shirt that is conducive to producing a good sweat patch, and I do like a sweat patch to come through when I run because it shows me that I've put in the effort. As I was coming back, I looked across the road to see people just walking through the part of the pavement that had been wrecked by the dog 8 hours earlier, and I thought, you're lucky, man, because I've done the heavy lifting on that muck patch for you. I stepped in it not 2 hours after it happened. It was like nothing had happened there. It reminded me of 2017 or 2018 when someone died on South Lambeth Road near the cafe they just killed over outside Victoria Mansions, this distinctive red block. As you head towards the Vauxhall end of SW8, the police and ambulance came, the area was blocked off, the traffic piled up, and there was one of those forensic services tents put up, and by the evening it was all gone. All there was a single bunch of flowers laid at the scene, a sign that something had happened earlier in the day, and that is what the muck reminded me of. And I was so affected by what this dog did, as you can tell, because I think I've devoted most of the show to this, that on Friday night, Saturday morning, I was so affected by this that I dreamt about the muck. And this time, I was on the old five-a-side Baker Street pitch that I played on for years, which was a really weird pitch. It was really long, but it was really narrow, and it was really punishing physically. I think even now that I've got as fit as I have, I would still struggle on that. And I was back there on that pitch where I played over 100 games, I would say, over the years on that five-a-side pitch, had some great times there. And this dog, or some dog, had done what that dog did on the pavement on Friday morning, and players were sliding into it. Their kit was caked in it. One guy had it all down the back of his shirt. It was a horrendous dream. Horrendous dream. And on that ugly note, that is it. That is the end of this week's regular show. If you were considering signing up for the Patreon and are now thinking, well, I don't really want to hear about more muck on Thursday, that's it. We're done with the muck. This is a one-off, hopefully. I mean, I've seen that dog and that owner around before, but I've never seen anything as bad as that. So that's it. Even if I see that dog doing that again this week, I won't talk about it on Thursday's show, okay? I'll call a moratorium on these dog muck updates. Patreon listeners, you get your weekly bonus edition, episode 269. That's out on Thursday, which will include the opening results of the new Star Wars football Silver Age Season 5. If regular listeners, if you want to join those patrons, sign up at patreon.com/DRT available. Thank you all for listening. If you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back next Monday with episode 270. Get those shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Wash those hands. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this start of the week, I have been available.